This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I made it.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Well, it turns out that yes, the White House is still in their BS denying classified documents they can talk about. And they're just talking about, you know, call the White House counsel's office, call the Justice Department, call the special counsel. It's nonsense. Welcome back to the show. Glad you are here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Just to put a bow on this Fauci thing, I just want to point out, you know, in life, when you have these mysterious coincidental events that occur, like, for example, a country in the world, China, who is an adversary, releasing this virus just happens to get out in the fall of 2019 during the World Military Games, and you get nonsense from people in the media and all these woke people that say things like stupid things that mean nothing when they say things like, well, you know, stop Asian hate. The point that I was making before Matt DeSantis actually went to Wikipedia to look up Asian countries was that India and China are both in Asia. So if you want to say stop Asian hate, how about China's Asian hate towards their fellow Asian country, India? Because the billions of people in that region of the world, a lot of them got very sick. If COVID-19 was originally a bioweapon, the other question that I think the world should be asking China is, were you targeting Indian DNA, as in people of the nation of India, of Indian ancestry? Was that also part of the design here? But nobody's asking those questions. And it needs to be asked. All right, let me move on to something else here, because I mentioned when Jimmy Failla was on with me earlier in the show, Fridays with Failla, I talked about Al Gore and his nonsense about the boiling seas. Well, Al Gore actually tries to explain a little bit about this, about what he meant, but as he really tries to make it clear that he's not being histrionic about boiling oceans, he raises the bar of histrionic craziness, actually, cut 17.
I always start by setting the context. This is the famous Earthrise picture from the first mission that went far enough out in space to see the Earth floating whole. And this is the famous blue marble that was taken on the last Apollo mission. And it sets the context for a discussion of how to track the emissions that are causing the climate crisis. I usually start with a lot of images that illustrate all the horrible damage that's being done around the world. I've only selected eight or 10 of them here. I used to go back, years ago there was this, decades ago there was this. I can do it just last week now or yesterday. And actually in California, this is an atmospheric river from Hawaii, 2,500 kilometers to California. And this is the moisture that it contains. And the reason it contains that much moisture is that we're trapping as much extra heat with the greenhouse gases as would be released by 600,000 Hiroshima-class atomic bombs exploding.
Because that's not at all crazy. That's not at all raising the bar on histrionic craziness, right? Not at all.
600,000 Hiroshima.
600,000 Hiroshima class atomic bombs. Is there more of this lunacy?
Yeah, there's a little more.
All right.
And 93% of it goes into the ocean, and it's boiling the oceans. That's a metaphorical phrase, but it's not far off. And the water vapor.
What about 600,000 Hiroshima class atomic bombs? Is that a metaphor too? jackass or what?
I love that he catches himself with the boiling waters. Yeah. But just prior to that, he's talking about almost a million nuclear bombs going off per day.
Yeah, 600,000 Hiroshima-class bombs on Earth every 24 hours. Not a metaphor. That's like basically what's happening.
That's literal, yeah.
Yeah, that's literal. But the boiling ocean thing, come on, I was just being hyperbolic, just having fun. Rain bombs, come on. We got a little ditty put together by our buddy Michael Pelka, Stunt
Brain.
Shame.
It's a shame the ocean's not boiling. That'd be a hell of a seafood boil when it's
all
said and
done. Well, first of all, let me just tell you something. And I said this at Parks last night. I spent every year of my life going to the Jersey Shore, swimming in that ocean. Every year of my life as a kid. Would it be the worst thing if we boiled that water first before we got in? I'm just saying.
I'm with you there.
I'm just saying.
It's a little dirty. And a little cold.
Now cold, too. I'm just going to boil it up. You know what I mean?
It's cold.
Couple benefits.
I don't want any warm ocean water on a hot day.
All right, give me the little ditty put together by our buddy Stump Ray and Michael Pelka.
Rain bombs
keep falling on my head.
And sucking the moisture out of the land and creating the droughts and melting the ice and much greater. That's 1,000 Hiroshima-class atomic bombs exploding. Rain bombs
keep falling on my head. They keep falling.
Boiling the oceans.
Very nice. Well done, Stunt Brain. Yeah, but this is what I'm talking about here with the nonsense. And this is what you get in the World Economic Forum because you have to keep ratcheting up the bar of terror because none of these things happen. Remember, Paul Ehrlich, and I played you the clips before, said that the seas would rise 12 feet, Washington, D.C. would be underwater, and you could hitch your boat to the Washington Monument. Didn't happen. They talked about how entire cities would be washed away. Didn't happen. So, you know, islands would flip over. Guam would flip into the ocean. None of these things happen. Naval bases would be submerged, and we'd lose the Navy. Doesn't happen. So in order to keep people's attention, you have to keep ratcheting up the bar of craziness. And that's what Al Gore is very good at. I mean, you got to give the guy credit, except for one thing. I think when you go too far, then you just lose people. You know what I mean? It's like with the guy who's like, well, how big was that fish? And I caught a fish this big and it weighed, you know, 42 tons. You're like, stop. You didn't weigh 42 tons. Like, stop it. You know what I mean? There's always a point where you can go too far with the exaggeration. And then people just look at you and go, now you're just a BS artist. Al Gore realizes that everybody was mocking him for his boiling oceans comment. I tweeted out that there's an old saying my grandma used to say, a watch pot never boils. You don't have to worry about that now. Just bring your pasta right to the ocean and throw it in. You're good. 7 minutes later, it's nice al dente. You're good to go. Everybody was mocking him. So he tries to explain it. I go, oh, it was hyperbole. It's hyperbole. But then he goes and says 600,000 Hiroshima-style nuclear bombs hitting the earth every 24 hours. You see what I mean about the ratcheting up the absolute craziness? And this is what happens. And this is why people just kind of tune these people out. I'm telling you, they really do. It's not what it used to be. And unfortunately, though, when it comes to the kids today, it kind of is. For adults, we've seen through this nonsense. But what I worry about is the next generation. I worry about the kids because they have to learn about climate change now in New Jersey schools. It's mandated curriculum. And they're all do-gooders. I mean, as kids, you know, you're a do-gooder. You want to be in the club and give to Greenpeace and all the other stuff and save the rainforest and eat the Ben and Jerry's rainforest crunch to help raise some money. When you're a kid, you think you're doing the right thing by doing all these things. You don't realize that it's all nonsense, but you also don't realize it's nonsense because you're being indoctrinated. And that's what's happening to our kids. Now, speaking of a clueless child, Greta Thunberg. Greta Thunberg suggests that people attending Davos are actually to blame for climate change. I actually couldn't believe that Greta Thunberg said this. This is a person I wish would just go away. But unfortunately, she doesn't go away. But she said this, and I thought it was relevant enough to share with you. Cut 19.
Basically, the people who are mostly fueling the destruction of the planet, the people who are at the very core of the climate crisis, the people who are investing in fossil fuels, etc., etc. And yet somehow these are the people that we seem to rely on solving our problems, where they have proven time and time again that they are not prioritizing that. They are prioritizing self-greed, corporate greed, and short-term economic profits above people and above planet. Right now, the changes that we need are not very likely to come from from the inside. Rather, I believe they will come from the bottom up, so to speak.
From the bottom up. Now, she also could have mentioned all the people in Davos, of course, flying into their private jets. She didn't mention that, but she could have mentioned that. You had another clip you wanted me to play, Matt DeSantis, right? Is that relevant to this topic? I forget now. You told me in the hallway, but no.
The Joe Biden stuff? No.
All right, we'll do that next when we come back, because we're almost done with nonstop talk. But this is why when you dial this back a little bit and you realize what all of this hysteria is about. And it's about fueling an attack on capitalism. And we've talked about that. We've talked about what this whole goal of theirs is. It is the dismantling of capitalism, because that is the primary driver of all of this in their minds. And it's a terrible, terrible thing, capitalism. The Davos crowd sees Republicans as the enemy. Walter Russell Mead, Wall Street Journal. The elites at the WEF have a German, not an American view of capitalism. It is that time of year again where the skies over Davos are thick with private jets flying in billionaires to bemoan the problems of climate change. And as U.S. climate envoy John Kerry put it this week, to save the planet. Literally said that, to save the planet. Yes, the WEF is back. But something serious is happening at Davos. The divide between the consensus of the business and political leaders who gather here and the values and perceptions that shape American conservatives and the Republican Party is growing into a chasm. Both sides will have to think and act carefully, or the upheavals in European-American relations that mark the Trump years will fade into insignificance when Republicans are back in power, with or without Donald Trump. See, the WEF grows out of a German understanding of capitalism. What does that mean? After World War II, German conservatives believed that to stave off both communism and right-wing populism, they didn't want the Nazis to come back, even though I would argue the Nazis were left-wing because they were the National Socialist Party. German conservatives believed that private enterprise would have to adopt a more social posture. Businesses needed to demonstrate that capitalism could beat the socialists at their own game. Big business would work with the government to achieve important social welfare goals. That necessarily implied coordination between private sector and political leaders. Forums where business and government leaders could meet privately and hash out plans for harmonious social development were a necessary feature of this model. The ethos of coordinating public and private efforts to achieve social goals powered the WEF from its earliest years. And the vision of public-private partnerships in service to the forum's vision of the common good remains the animating principle of Davos to this day. While the old West German conservatives focus their efforts on German society, Davos has gone global on the theory that since problems such as inequity are global, coordination between business and government must be as well. These ideas are a problem from the traditional American standpoint of American pro-market capitalism. The genius of capitalism is in its capacity for disruption and invention. Grand national economic plans, to say nothing of grand international economic plans, generally fail. And the concentration of power that such planning gives to the state leads to corruption and ultimately authoritarian rule. What Walter Russell Mead has laid out is, in very simple ways, the easiest way to understand that any criticism you have of Klaus Schwab or any of these other people is not a conspiracy hat, tinfoil hat thing. It actually comes from a longstanding debate over the nature of capitalism itself. These people do want to control the world. This is not a conspiracy point where it's like, oh, Zioli, you're hyperbole. No, they do. They want to control the world. They think they're there to save it. And they believe that this German model of capitalism will save the earth, will save the world. And it's impossible to do that for a variety of reasons. Number one, if the state is in the business of planning, you cannot have the free market actually work. The invisible hand needs to occur when the government's not slapping it every 2 minutes. Number two, as part of this German capitalism, they can justify denying developing nations in the world their ability to catch up to the United States in terms of progress because of fossil fuels. And they can justify that by saying, but don't worry, our economic model will provide for you. What does that sound like to you? And number three is the authoritarian concept, which you cannot escape. It is the state telling you what kind of an oven you can have, the state telling you what kind of meat you can eat or not eat, or how often you can, the state telling you what kind of a car you can have, all of that under control. It's not capitalist when the state comes out and says, you are not allowed to purchase a gas-powered vehicle. There's nothing capitalistic about that, as you know. But you see, in the German model, it absolutely is, because you're affecting the marketplace for the greater good. And then that's okay, because as part of your job here is to make social inequity or address whatever other problems are out there as capitalism's main goal. It's not about making money. It's about making the world a better place as they view it. And if you're a student of history, as I am, you know that a lot of tyrants have that exact same mindset, including Justin Trudeau's father. Allegedly, Fidel Castro had that. I mean, I'm not saying Pierre Trudeau had, but Pierre Trudeau also had it, actually. He was a big bit of a socialist thinker, too. But no, they have these theories, and then they have to impose authoritarianism because people don't like it. If they liked it, they wouldn't have to impose their will on people. If enough people wanted to buy electric vehicles, even with all the credits that the government has given, they wouldn't need to ban gas cars. They wouldn't need to ban those vehicles. Davos is about control, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Don't let anyone call you a kook. Don't let anyone tell you to go put on your tinfoil hat. None of that stuff. Davos is about control. It is about putting an economic system in place for the entire world, including, yes, the United States of America, a German model of capitalism that is absolutely antithetical to the free market capitalism we believe in here in the United States of America. You're not a kook. You're not a conspiracy nut. You are somebody who wants to fight to preserve what works best, which is the free market, and to not have the state decide what is utilitarian and then impose that through policy. Mark Levin wrote the book Ameritopia on this subject. Whenever the left tries this grand experiment, whether it was Woodrow Wilson with his first iteration of what would ultimately become the New Deal, or the New Deal, parts 1 through 11, Roosevelt had a lot of New Deals, by the way. You may know that or not know that. Lyndon Johnson, the War on Poverty, the Great Society, all the nonsense. Every time the state tries to do these things, they fail. They fail every time. They never work. If it worked, we wouldn't have poverty right now. Poverty would be a thing of the past. If it worked, the great... I was driving to... I had to take the train to work today because I'm meeting some friends in the city to go to dinner, and so I just didn't want to have the car here. They're going to Uber it in. We'll Uber it home. And as I was on the New Jersey Transit light rail, which is basically a way to transport drugs between Trenton and Camden, I noticed out my window as we were going into Camden that there are these tent cities that are still there. People living in tents under the overpass. Lots of them. Lots of tents. That's weird to me because I thought the Great Society and the War on Poverty was just to take care of all that for everybody. Why didn't that work? Appalachia at this point, or Appalachia, however you say it, at this point should be a teeming city on the hill with gold sidewalks, and everybody should be rich and making money and happy. Appalachia to this day is still a very poor region of the country, exacerbated the fact by things like the war on coal, which they went in and shut down viable industries, and also too, of course, NAFTA, which sent a lot of those manufacturing warehouses to China and caused people to lose their jobs, which is why that region of the country has one of the highest opioid epidemics in the country as well. But I digress. The point is this. Speak out against Davos. These are people who think they're better than you and think they're smarter than you. And ultimately, they think that their model of capitalism is better for you. And they will impose that will upon you if you allow them to. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Coming right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
Just a little WEF entertainment for you. A little music to get you going in the drive home. Get your blood going.
Get me ready for the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I'll throw my head back and see.
I mean, this is so good. I don't know if you can dance to it. Really good.
It really is growing on me. Like, I'm not even kidding.
None of us doubt that, Henry. None of us doubt that.
Like, it was really bad when I first heard it, but after hearing it, like, five times now.
You like the whistling?
That
the
whistling
too?
At the end, very
like
nice.
The whistling?
Yeah.
What was this at the end? We glossed over this the first time. Let me blow this up so we can really hear it.
what was that?
It's at the very end. I have no idea.
Wow. We gotta add that to the soundboard. So just throw that out there randomly. You know what I mean?
I like it. Terrible song.
I love terrible
noises. That's interesting.
Like, I love when we just, you know, every now and then we'll just throw in like...
Yeah, good. Okay.
Things that make no sense whatsoever, but they amuse me, so I'll just do it. You know what I mean?
How many cuts do you have on there?
I got a lot, actually.
There's, on the one he's on, I think it's 75.
Oh, wow.
There's one of Bernie Sanders making a terrible noise. Let's see if I can find... Oh, here we go.
Blah, 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 blah.
That's one of my favorites.
Blah, 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 blah.
Now let's have, all right, so play that and then I'll play this. Let's see how it sounds. Go ahead. Fun with audio.
Blah, 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 blah.
Do you want to play Bernie maybe over the tune?
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, good. Okay.
Actually works.
It doesn't even sound any worse.
No, it's like improving it, actually. We can also throw in like...
Your silence and your amnesia is complicity. I hurt. When Dick Durbin called me, I had tears of rage when I heard about this experience in that meeting. And for you not to feel that hurt and that pain and to dismiss some of the questions of my colleagues, that's unacceptable to me.
Gobbledygook.
Brian Stelter. Where's it now? Here we go. See if I can, Bernie Sanders asking kids if they ever tried cocaine. Where can I find that? Do I have that? Oh, here we go. Keep the music going here. Just play crazy things that Democrats have said.
Firing up again.
Vax and scratch.
But for the variant.
This is good.
It's about the closest I'll probably ever have in my life to an I am Spartacus moment.
Hold on a sec. I'm going to get me a beer.
Was that Elizabeth Warren?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Remember that?
I do.
I'm going to get me a beer.
I'll throw my head back and see.
Go, you know the thing.
Very good.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
No idea. Remember, we are New Jersey.
I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun.
Who is the Simba suit?
It's breathtaking.
Or again, Brian Stelter.
It's breathtaking.
Yeah, good. Fun with little WEF music and then fun with dumb things Democrats have said. I like it. And one Republican and was basically a Democrat. Being, of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
We should turn that into our own song and put it on iTunes or something.
And we could also add, like, go ahead, play it again. We could add some of these in.
Throw a punch for the children.
What?
Nancy Pelosi, the vampiric one.
Throw a punch for the children.
What's that even reference to?
What is she talking about?
I don't know. Where is my... Here we go.
Impeach 45!
I wasn't ready. Hang on. We have to do that one.
All right, go ahead.
Impeach 45!
Here we go.
Stay woke!
Stop the hammering!
Oh, man. All right, I'm going to get... I was really hoping that when Bernie Sanders asked kids, has anybody ever tried cocaine? And I thought I had... Oh, here we go. Okay, I got it. I found it. Go ahead. Fire it up one last time.
But who knows about cocaine? Anyone ever seen cocaine?
Talking to kids.
Does anyone know where I can get some? Maybe your parents? Maybe your mom? Was she home all day? Does she do yoga? Or does she just shop in yoga pants? Either way, I'm okay with it.
I have this, I love when we make these compilations of things. And one of the things we did was Pervy Bernie. This is an oldie but goodie here. This is great. It's this kind of stuff on Friday where my attention span just goes off the rails. So
what's on the issue, ma'am? Let's see right there. Stand up. Give us your name, please.
Hi.
Face your friends.
Hi, my name's Lucy. Yeah.
Do a pirouette. Turn around. I want to check out your ass. Go ahead.
What's on the issue, ma'am? Let's see right there. Stand up. Give us your name, please.
Hi.
Do a twirl.
Face your friends.
Hi, my name's Lissy. I live in Decorah.
Lissy.
Yep. Okay. And I think
look at you.
The kind of brainwashing, or the idea at least like I grew up with, is that our definition of success is like the American dream in great capitalism. You're rewarded for getting everything and just keeping it to yourself and not worrying about everybody else. And that's sort of like a psychology that we've all been taught. Well, not everyone, but a lot of people have been taught that that's the American way. So I think that has something to do with it.
I think Lizzie is exactly right. That's a profound, it's a profound point.
And I think we should talk about it later over Chardonnay. And if I think I know a guy.
But who knows about cocaine?
We're going to have a party tonight, Lizzie. Stand up. Turn around. Do a pirouette. Can you do the lotus pose? Go ahead.
We have some other cuts here. We got President Biden trying to introduce Keisha Lance Bottoms, is that right?
That is correct.
Now, she was the mayor of Atlanta, and then she got a job in the Biden administration.
Yes.
We don't know what she does, well, and apparently neither does the president of the United States. So, go ahead.
Keisha Lance Bottoms is here, sir. She said it was harder being mayor of Atlanta than being president, but I don't know. I'm only kidding, but all kidding aside... Well, what have we done? She's a senior advisor on public engagement, led the cities through the pandemic.
Who is this imbecile?
No, don't play that. Stop. Hang on, because I can't process it. Go ahead. Do it again. Go ahead.
What do you want, Biden or the...
No, I don't want Arnold Schwarzenegger again. He already played it. No, give me Biden again.
Oh, sorry.
Keisha Lance Bottoms is here, sir. Said it was harder being mayor of Atlanta than being president, but I don't know. I'm only kidding, but all kidding aside, what have we done? She's a senior advisor on public engagement, led the cities through the pandemic.
Resume.
I love how he phrases that statement as a question.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm not kidding, but just no, all kidding aside, all kidding aside. And also, please, I want to hear Kamala Harris explaining electricity. Can we do that?
Yes, we can.
Thank you very much.
Today, America has more than 500,000 miles of transmission lines, enough to wrap around the globe 24 times. These lines connect the power plants where electricity is created to homes and businesses and schools.
You know what this sounds like if my daughter Claire was giving a report in kindergarten about electricity? That's what this sounds like, right? And when you stick your finger in the socket, you'll feel that burn. And you'll get, sometimes it's static electricity on your pants. Like, it's so dumb what she's saying right now. It's just so, go ahead, keep going.
Across our nation, think about it. Every time you turn on a light or charge your laptop, or plug in your air conditioner, or put leftovers in the fridge. You rely on the power delivered by our nation's network of transmission lines.
Wow. That's amazing.
That's interesting.
Every time you flip, stop doing that. You're not, listen, that's my job, not your job.
What do you mean it's not my job? I do it all the time.
It's not your job. If I'm ranting on a clip, you don't add audio effect. If I wanted a sound effect, I would play a sound effect. Did I want a sound effect there?
Huh?
No, I was ranting, and then you jump in with Alec Baldwin.
All right.
Did I ask you for Alec Baldwin? Seriously.
I thought it would improve production.
It did not improve production at all, and you've already played it like 9 times today. How many times have you got to hear Alec Baldwin today on the show? If I wanted Alec Baldwin, I would play Alec Baldwin. I have Alec Baldwin right here. Did I play Alec Baldwin? No, you played Alec Baldwin. Is this the Henry show? Did Henry take over the show when I last checked during the break? Did that happen? Did that occur?
Obviously not.
I mean, why don't you, you know what, Henry? You why don't you do the rest of the show with your little sound effects, all right?
Oh, God, no. That's my nightmare. Don't give him more power.
My God. This he's like a tyrant in there. You're like Klaus Schwab. You're like the Klaus Schwab of producers.
Just
what, because I play sound
burn.
Effects?
He just goes rogue. I'm trying to make a joke, and I gotta listen to Arnold Schwarzenegger, or I got to listen to freaking Alec Baldwin. I'm trying to make a joke, and then you kill it with your dumb sound effect, Henry.
I'm sorry. I'll sit in silence. I'll face the wall.
This is my favorite part of the show, listening to Henry get yelled at.
Seriously.
Well, at least I'm not yelling at you about your musical choices today.
Yeah, something else for once. Thank God.
I got to find something every day. Stalker demands it.
I know.
There's plenty of material to work with.
Find something to yell at Henry about each and every show.
I have a list. I can lend it to you if you need it.
This wasn't in my job description.
Yeah, you love it. He's like, maybe. I don't know. Some days I do, some days I don't.
Depends on the day, yeah. You're right.
Some days he asks for it. Like, he'll queue
He'll
queue up music that he knows you're going to hate.
Yeah, he knows he's
going to
set
snickering.
Me off and make me go into a rant and a tirade.
He'll even, like, turn to me during the commercial breaks and he'll go, "You think Rich will like this?" And, like, of course he won't. That's why he's giggling.
I don't laugh like that, first off.
You kind of do. You have a little bit of a...
I have a silent
like
laugh.
Like a Klaus Schwab kind of a laugh to you. A little bit. Like I could see if things, you know, I hope you stay in radio. Obviously, we love you on the show, but
I could
see if you left. No.
No.
I could see you becoming like an evil dictator, like living in an island. Couldn't you, Matt?
No, he would never be able to ascend to that level of power.
Why not?
With the
what's
mullet.
What's stopping me? Yeah, what's stopping me?
Nothing.
How many world leaders do you know that have mullets?
No, I didn't mean a world leader. I meant an evil leader on an island. I'm not saying there's anybody on the island. I'm saying Henry's on the island.
It's just him and some wildlife.
Right. And that's all it is.
Just me and a volleyball.
All right, we got to do the movie thing. Honestly, I just lose it on Fridays. Let's do the movie thing. Go ahead, take a listen.
Now,
afternoon.
Mystery movie clip. WPHT.
Team, there's no time. You have to convince that audience to let you do your job.
Gary, you've got to take the stage.
No, I can't upstage Alec Baldwin. He's the best actor in the world.
You have to try.
I'm not that good.
Actually, you're the finest actor I've ever met.
Come on, Gary, hurry. You've got to act fast.
I know you all don't like Team America a whole lot right now, but Kim Jong-il is a lot worse.
You can't out-act me, boy. Don't even try.
Think you know what it is? Be calling 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
All right, executive producer Matt DeSantis, tell them what they'll win.
All right, if you call in number 12 and you know the name of the movie, which you probably should since I think it was mentioned in the clip, you will win a pair of tickets to the Philadelphia Auto Show, January 28th through February 5th at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. Tickets are available at phillyautoshow.com.
All right, excellent. Good luck. And let me tell you about omahasteaks.com, because Omaha Steaks makes it very easy for you to bring family and friends together during these dark, dark winter nights. I always say food makes everybody happy. You know what I mean? It's the Italian to me. I love to cook. And I love that Omaha Steaks has so many choices on sale right now. You save 50%. 25% on select Omaha Steaks customer favorites. You buy more, you save more when you stock up on these mouthwatering items. That's $30 off an endless variety of gourmet choices, from perfectly aged tender steaks to juicy burgers, decadent desserts, and classic comfort meals. Every bite is guaranteed perfect. Visit OmahaSteaks.com today and enter Zeoli at checkout to get $30 off your order. Omaha Steaks isn't just steak. It's the best steak of your life, guaranteed. There's a reason why Omaha Steaks has been the leader of gourmet steaks and food since 1917. No one, and I mean no one, comes close to matching the flavor, the tenderness, and the value of Omaha Steaks. So visit OmahaSteaks.com. Use my name, Zeoli, at checkout. Z-E-O-L-I, of course. Get that extra $30 off your order. Minimum order may be required. You can throw a steak on the cast iron skillet right on your stovetop, or, of course, fire up the grill. We got games this weekend. We've got games for the next couple weeks. Bring people over, do a little tailgate in the backyard, or bring some great food to a tailgate you get invited for. Everybody loves the great food at Omaha Steaks. Better than anything you get at the grocery store. Way better prices than anything you get at the grocery store. So stock up and save today. OmahaSteaks.com. Use my name, Zeoli. Get $30 off your order.
Thanks for listening to the Zeoli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
1210 at PHT. When we come back, we got some time. Oh, great. We're going to... when can we take some calls, Ivan?
Whenever we want.
You leave us no choice, listeners.
Lots to get to before the show's over today. Backing up the story I shared with you about Asanto Fauci and the cover-up over the lab leak theory, our buddy Michael Pelka, who, of course, you can hear Saturday nights at 7 p.m. right here at Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. He is America's guest host. There's a nice write-up about him in Barrett Media about how Michael Pelka is always there for the host. Whenever we need a day off, he's the first one to get the call. He's going to join us a little bit after 6 today, Matt DeSantis. He's got a bunch of audio from Jim Jordan on the subject, and he's broken it down quite extensively. So he's going to join us a little bit after 6, so I'm looking forward to that. I wanted to mention to you a couple things. First of all, on the Alec Baldwin thing that we talked a lot about, remember Alec Baldwin said in that interview with the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos that he would never pull the trigger. He did not pull the trigger. He said the gun just fired. He would never pull a trigger that was a gun that's pointed at somebody. That's BS. You know it's BS. The gun didn't just go off. It doesn't happen that way, of course. And since he's been charged, the prosecutors say he absolutely lied. Here is Santa Fe District Attorney Mary Carmack Altweez and Andrea Reeb, the special prosecutor, on this case, talking to Fox News, Cut 11.
We definitely believe he pulled the trigger. The FBI lab report confirms that, so definitely the trigger was pulled.
All right. So his statement is not correct under any circumstance.
We don't believe it is.
Mr. Baldwin had a duty at the base level to never hold a gun and point it at a person while pulling the trigger. But he also had a duty as an actor and a producer on that set to have the bullets checked or to check them himself to make sure that they weren't live.
We believe Baldwin as a producer knows everything that goes on this set. And so, there was a lot of problems. There was a lot of there were a couple accidental discharges. There was a lot of safety concerns that were brought to the attention of management, and he did nothing about it. So this was a loose and reckless scene where safety was compromised just to save money.
There you go. And he's going down for this. I'm really, really sure of that point. A couple other points I wanted to mention to you as well. But first, let me go to Alex. Alex has the movie today. Alex, my man, happy Friday. What's going on?
Hey, Rich. Not much, but yeah, the movie's Team America. And let me tell you, I've never called a radio station before, but I was inspired by Matt DeSantis when he went on that rant a couple days ago about he wanted to ban difficult email addresses. Well, I got my wish. I got to give it to him.
Well done. Don't say it over the air, but well done. He told me in my ear what it is. And yeah, he's pretty annoyed about that. So, Alex, job well done. You not only got the movie, you also annoyed the executive producer of the show. So, well done.
I'm not exaggerating. Out of all the prizes we've given away since moving to afternoons on October 3rd, Alex has the worst email address I have ever seen.
That's a lot
it's
of
not
doubt.
Even close.
Bravo. Bravo to
Thank
you, Alex.
Sir.
And you know what? By doing this, you are embodying this.
They'll never take our freedom.
Yeah, because Matt DeSantis is not, he doesn't have the ability to ban people because of their emails. I won't allow it on my
yep.
show. Won't allow it. Alex, well done, buddy.
Thank you. Have a good
great
night,
weekend.
Rich.
You got it. 855-839-1210. I know that I'm weaving a lot of the Davos stuff in here, but I think it's really important to think about a lot of different things. John Stossel has a piece regarding recycling and how it's a bunch of BS. And the United States Secretary General slammed oil companies, but I want you to think about this, particularly what he says regarding what oil companies are inconsistent with. Ready? Cut 13.
We are flirting with climate disaster. Every week.
By the way, stop. Flirting with disaster by, was it Molly Pritchard? Is that right? No, that's not Molly. Who's the singer of that song? I love that song. Flirting with Disaster. Hang on. I got to go to the YouTube. I got to go to the tape. Flirting with Disaster. I love that song. Hang on.
Molly Hatchet.
Molly Hatchet. Thank you. Is he embodying Flirting with Disaster in this dumb clip for the United States United Nations Secretary General? All right. Let's hear it again. Let's see. You determine for yourself.
With climate disaster. Every week brings a new climate horror story. Greenhouse gas emissions are at record levels and growing. The commitment to limit global temperature rise to 1.5 degrees is nearly going up in smoke. Without further action, we are headed to a 2.8 degree increase, and the consequences, as we all know, would be devastating. Several parts of our planet would be uninhabitable, and for many, it will mean a death sentence. But this is not a surprise. The science has been clear for decades. And I'm not talking only about UN scientists. I'm talking even about fossil fuel scientists.
We so sounds like you're an evil dictator. Fossil
that certain
fuel.
Certain fossil fuel producers were right? fully aware in the 70s that their core product was baking our planet. And just like the tobacco industry, they rode roughshod over their own science. Some in big oil peddled the big lie. And like the tobacco industry, those responsible must be held to account. Today, fossil fuel producers and their enablers are still racing to expand production, knowing full well that this business model is inconsistent with human survival. Now,
inconsistent with human survival. Thank you. That's good. Inconsistent with human survival. Do you know how many people, how many lives have been saved by fossil fuels providing electricity and energy to keep people warm in winter, to keep food fresh, to keep medicines fresh, life-saving technologies. Now, how many people in this planet have been saved because of fossil fuels? Look at, and this is the key point that I always make, look at longevity, life longevity before we had electricity, and look at it till now. And you'll see what an absolute difference electricity has made to keeping people alive, keeping them alive. Here are a bunch of predictions, 18 spectacularly wrong predictions made around the time of first Earth Day in 1970 by that lunatic who killed his killed his girlfriend and hid the body. Remember that, the guy from Philadelphia that started Earth Day? You know that, right?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, he, look it up. He murdered his girlfriend and hid the body. The guy who was the founder of Earth Day. Jeez. And he did it in Philadelphia. So this is a couple things here. Number one, Green Holy Day, which started around 1970. Harvard biologist George Wald estimated that civilization will end within 15 or 30 years unless immediate action is taken against problems facing mankind. We are in an environmental crisis which threatens the survival of this nation and of the world as a suitable place of human habitation, wrote Washington University biologist Barry Commoner in the Earth Day issue of the scholarly journal Environment. It's all 1970. The day after the first Earth Day, the New York Times editorial page warned, quote, man must stop pollution and conserve his resources, not merely to enhance existence, but to save the race from intolerable deterioration and possible extinction. Ira Einhorn, thank you. Population will inevitably and completely outstrip whatever small increases in food supplies we make, said nutbag Paul Ehrlich in the April 1970 issue of Mademoiselle. The death rate will increase until at least 100 to 200 million people a year are starving to death during the next 10 years. This is all 1970. Most of the people who are going to die in the greatest cataclysm in the history of man have already been born. Some experts feel that food shortages will have escalated the present level of world hunger and starvation into famines of unbelievable proportions. Other experts, more optimistic, think the ultimate food production collision will not occur until after the decade of the 1980s. Ehrlich sketched out his most alarmist scenario for the 1970 Earth Day issue of The Progressive, assuring readers that between 1980 and 1989, some 4 billion people, including 65 million Americans, would perish in, quote, the great die-off. It is already too late to avoid mass starvation, declared Dennis Hayes, the chief organizer for Earth Day, in the spring 1970 issue of The Living Wilderness. Peter Gunter, a North Texas State University professor, wrote in 1970, quote, demographers agree almost unanimously on the following grim timetable. By 1975, widespread famines will begin in India. These will spread by 1990 to include all of India, Pakistan, China, and the Near East. And Africa by the year 2000 or conceivably sooner. South and Central America will exist under famine conditions by the year 2000, 30 years from now. The entire world, with the exception of Western Europe, North America, and Australia, will be in famine. January 1970, Life reported, quote, scientists have sold experimental and theoretical evidence to support, solid, to report the following predictions. In a decade, urban dwellers will have to wear gas masks to survive air pollution. January 1970. By 1985, air pollution will have reduced the amount of sunlight reaching the earth by one half. Ecologist Kenneth Walt told Time that, quote, at the present rate of nitrogen buildup, it's only a matter of time before light will be filtered out of the atmosphere and none of our land will be usable. 1970. Barry Commoner predicted that decaying organic pollutants would use up all the oxygen in America's rivers, causing freshwater fish to suffocate. Paul Ehrlich claimed in 1970, of course, predicting that air pollution is certainly going to take hundreds of thousands of lives in the next few years alone. He sketched a scenario in which 200,000 Americans would die in 1973 during smog disasters in New York and L.A. Paul Ehrlich warned in the May 1970 issue of Audubon that DDT and other chlorinated hydrocarbons may have substantially reduced the life expectancy of people born since 1945. When they banned DDT, that was one. Okay, can I do it in the 6 o'clock hour? Okay, that was one of the biggest disasters on the planet when they banned DDT, because look at the rates of malaria prior to the ban of DDT. Look at it now. Malaria has killed way more people than DDT ever has. But anyway, Ecologist Kenneth Watt declared, by the year 2000, if present trends continue, we'll be using up crude oil at such a rate that there won't be any more crude oil. You'll drive up to the pump and say, fill her up, buddy. And he'll say, I'm very sorry, there isn't any. 1970. Harrison Brown, a scientist of the National Academy of Sciences, published a chart in the Scientific American that looked at metal reserves and estimated that humanity would totally run out of copper shortly after 2000. Lead, zinc, tin, gold, and silver gone before 1990. 1970 prediction. Senator Gaylord Nelson wrote in Look That, that somewhere between 75 and 80% of all the species of living animals would be extinct in 25 years' time. 1970. In 1975, Paul Ehrlich predicted that since more than 9/10 of the original tropical rainforest will be removed in most areas within the next 30 years or so, it is expected that half of the organisms in these areas will vanish with it. And finally, 18 predictions wrong since 1970. Kenneth Watt warned about a pending ice age in a speech. Quote, the world has been chilling sharply for about 20 years. If present trends continue, the world will be about 4 degrees colder for the global mean temperature in 1990, but 11 degrees colder in the year 2000. This is about twice what it would take to put us into an ice age. Big final hour set to go. Don't go away.
Rich Cioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.